Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Geeks On Spider-Man 3. For more information about the news and links we talk about in the show, go to our website at www.geeksone.com.
Energy!
Energy, everybody!
Jazz hands!
Jazz hands.
Jazz hands.
Yes.
I want you to tell me right here and now.
Okay.
Do you believe that I think that our troops are terrorists?
I
just say it now. Let's clear this up now.
Okay. Has someone accused you that you're said?
Have you? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Terrible dilemma that all of us have been working on here. Right. But hopefully we can get over this. My geek queens!
we'll deal with that later.
Don, as a woman, as Barbara Walters, with a wisp.
Do you even get on the internet?
I do, but
I played Catan with Matt the other
See?
Day.
See?
That's on Xbox. That's hardly the internet.
What did I miss?
Oh, you don't know the Rosie O'Donnell reference?
I saw an argument with her and Elizabeth. I don't know anything else.
Well, we just recreated the argument.
Oh, she said that troops are. Shall we introduce ourselves?
Alrighty. My name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a graphic designer and filmmaker here in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
My name is Donald Marshall. I'm a video game producer and a writer here in sunny Hollywood, goddammit. And I, too, am a geek.
And my name is Matt King, and I am an actor here in Los Angeles, and I, too, am a geek. And you will notice that we are missing one of the heads of GeekCon.
Oh, Peter.
Poor Peter.
We figured we needed to get a damn show out.
Yes.
We just, you know, we're all busy right now, and we just couldn't arrange it. And everyone's waiting for a show, and, you know, for the next couple...
You might have to settle for a couple GeekCon lights next couple weeks.
Exactly.
We'll try to get some new geek in here and there, but for fresh perspective. But we might not have the whole crew here for just a little while.
Hey,
but how was your guys' Geek Week?
This Geek Week was like geekier than geeky.
This was a huge Geek Week for me.
My office is about 6 blocks from where the massive Star Wars convention at the LACC was.
Awesome!
So, you should have seen the streets. You know?
The 30th anniversary Star Wars LA convention was this last weekend.
Yes.
Right near it.
Oh, my God.
Lots of costumes.
Did you go?
I did not go.
Don. You didn't
go. I'm not the big Star Wars geek. I like Star Wars.
It was awesome.
I like it.
I giggled my way through that whole thing. We should do an entire show on it.
How many days did you go?
I went 2 days.
You went 2 days?
Yes.
I only went 1 day, so I'm not sure if I can do a whole show. But
how much was admission?
It was expensive.
$45?
For each day?
No, you could do $90 and get a 4-day pass.
Mine was, but it was $45 for the 1 day I went, which
so
I thought was...
You paid 90?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's too expensive.
Yeah, I couldn't pay that much for... What was it? What did you
It was see? A lot of... it was amazing stuff. They had a room full of people who made R2-D2s, and they had a ton of things where, you know, like the guys from Family Guy were talking. I don't know how that had anything to do with Star Wars
like
at all.
They had a Star Wars thing.
Oh, they did? Yeah. Okay, I came in on the second
half
of it.
But this was definitely a con where you had to go to...
The events.
The events.
Yeah.
You couldn't just stroll... Like, all I did is went, and I strolled the floor.
No.
And it was like a teeny, eeny, weeny Comic-Con. So I was like...
In fact, I am wearing my R2-D2 shirt from...
See?
Ooh.
Yeah.
And I bought a game, which I want to show you, which is part of my Geek Week. I got the... Which is not out yet, and I don't know why...
Oh, that was a game? I thought that was just a collector's edition of the DVD.
No, this is a Star Wars Pocket Model TCG. So the people who brought you the Pirates... that Pirates game where you... make little models out of the cards. They are now making a Star Wars one. And check out these. Well, I'll put a link to it, but you guys check out like this little model.
Slick.
Tell me that's not awesome.
That's cool. And it's the old side. It's like an I'm holding an X-Wing on
Here's a
sort
Millennium
of a,
Falcon.
He's got the 30th anniversary Millennium Falcon.
Is that a
Falcon.
Hexagon or a pentagon?
That is a hexagon.
Hexagon. On a hexagon. Sorry.
Here's a Carillion cruiser.
Bad.
Check out how big some of these.
Whoa!
I mean, it's
thousand
cool.
Asian ancestors. I've seen them.
Yeah.
So
the thousand
comes-
Asian ancestors are calling out in
exactly.
Shanghai right now.
So this is a collectible card game, kind of model game, where each gum pack it has between 3 and 6 spaceships that you pop out and create these awesome little models. And then it comes with 6 playing cards, and you play the Star Wars spaceship battle game.
Badass.
It's pretty badass.
I'm just a little disappointed, though, that, I mean, from what you were saying, it sounds like it's just basically a card game with models.
It is. So I haven't played the game yet. I read through the rules, and the rules are eh. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if maybe playing it would be more fun. Like, when I read the rules, I'm like, bummer.
I bet you people will come up with house rules, even if it's bad.
These miniatures are so cool. I feel like I want to come up with some house rules, you know, because they're just
totally
way too cool. And and the stats on the ships are so basic that you could totally make any type of...
You could just strap them down to a Starfleet Battles map and it'd be awesome.
Pretty much. So anyway, we'll put a link to it. It comes out in June, and anyway, pretty cool.
Yeah. So I went. There were so many like cool things at that convention. I got one of the action figures. My friend Tom, who we've had on the show, huge Star Wars fan, obviously.
Toy collector.
So he was like, I paid $500 on eBay last time for the exclusive thing that was at the convention. You've got to go get it for me. So I was like, yeah, absolutely.
Which is like...
Yeah, it was 20 bucks. It was 20 bucks there.
Yeah.
So I went and I was going to get one for him. And then I looked at it, and what it is, it's the original concept drawing of C-3PO and R2-D2.
In action figure form.
Ooh. So
Cool. Exactly.
Ooh, yeah. That's cool. So okay, that's pretty cool.
C-3PO looking like Metropolis and R2 with double extra arms, and it's badass.
Yeah, that is pretty badass.
Yeah.
I'm impressed by that.
So I kept one, actually. I don't think I'm going to sell it, but I'm going to keep it for my kids in box.
Where's the love?
Bastard.
Where's
whatever.
What else did you buy?
I bought a t-shirt for me, a t-shirt for Kat. I got a mug and a cap. I
really wanted to buy a whole bunch of things.
I hoed out to George Lucas.
I gotta say, though, I don't know if there was as much media coverage of it outside of Los Angeles, but here in LA, all the local news, all the local radio stations did nothing but mock Star Wars fans for 4 days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, completely.
I got so angry every time I turned on a radio station, even some of my favorite shows.
Oh, yeah, it was like, big nerds are down at the LA.
I think one of the quotes here is like, it's as though everyone's mother's basement has disgorged its contents to the street of Los Angeles.
Sad but true.
Screw you.
Actually, I saw this one family, which I thought was sort of the greater geek unit.
Oh, I love this.
I'm walking down through the hallway. This is right after you had left, Aaron. And suddenly I see a stormtrooper walking towards me.
Mm-hmm.
And right next to him is Leia in the bikini.
Right.
And she's carrying 2 children. And she has a son walking in front of her. And the son is dressed as a Jawa, complete with glowing eye lights. And she's carrying in her left arm a small child who has a beanie cap, a knit beanie cap of R2-D2.
Right.
And the child in her right arm, probably a twin, has Yoda ears.
Wow.
And I was like, that family's tricked out.
Yeah.
I like stopped. I called Kat. I was like, we're doing it. She was like, I like the Yoda ears.
No, I saw dads with their kids there, and the dad was buying shit for him, like expensive Star Wars lightsabers, and the kids were buying shit for them.
Everybody had lightsabers.
Yeah.
I
still don't have one, and I was like,
I heard they were giving lightsaber lessons.
Yeah, get the Mace Windu one. It's badass
kinda
looking.
The old.
Oh, you like the Obi-Wan one?
Well, yeah, the Luke Skywalker one. The one that doesn't have, the one that looks just like a pipe.
Right.
That's kind of old school.
Yeah. That's
beautiful in its simplicity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a cool kids room, too, which I was like, you know, go Star Wars, where all the kids were beating up on each other with these batons, these lightsaber batons.
Right.
And then they had face painting. They could get their faces painted like any Star Wars character they wanted.
Wow.
And they had... 3 artists who were rotating in, and they were artists who had done concept drawings for Star Wars, and they were teaching the kids, like, this is how to draw an X-Wing. This is how to draw a B-Wing. And I thought, I was like, great, you know? So anybody was interested in it.
That's cool.
I thought that was a badass. Anyway,
anything else? I went to the other convention for one day, the Strategicon, which is the board game / role playing miniature gaming convention in Los Angeles, and I went there. It's the same. It's
almost the same games. Every time I've gone, it's been sort of the same stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's new new games get introduced, and they're playing some new games.
What was the funk level this time? Was it extra stinky?
No. This is actually pretty good. There was a a good crowd of people, actually. And yeah. A lot
the
of men and
they
women.
Have it is very well ventilated, too.
Yes. And big rooms. Another cool thing is they have that library where you can just go in and check out hundreds of games.
That's
for free, it's which nice. Is very cool. Yeah. And they had a game room. Rio Grande Games was there, and they were demoing this game called If Wishes Were Fishes. That looked pretty cool. That comes out in this.
I like Rio Grande.
So do I.
They put out good stuff.
Yeah. Well, last time I bought Kalis after the guy demoed it, so yeah. I'm thinking about buying If Wishes Were Fishes because it was pretty cool.
This guy's like your pusher.
Well, he's there pushing you know, all those games.
Little did he know you have your own room.
Yeah, that's why they don't allow comic and board games. Stores within 200 feet of any school districts anymore.
Oh, please. I don't come close to some of those people. I listened to a podcast called Have Games Will Travel that has Paul Tevis, and he's really into role-playing games mm-hmm. and board games, but really into role-playing games and new kind of, he calls crunchy hippie role-playing games where they don't have dice and everyone's telling stories and, you know, shit that you
yeah.
like, Don.
Yeah, Don.
So I got you a present there because he suggested
very
it.
Nice. It looks very nice.
And it's supposed to be a great game.
It's like a pulp action indie role-playing game.
Yeah. Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's got a lot of cool game mechanics that make you role-play the certain way. It kind of pushes you the right direction, which is pretty cool. But anyway, so I'll report on If Wishes Were Fishes.
As soon as we play it.
As soon as I buy it and we'll play it.
Let's see. Great. What else was there? There was Shrek 3.
I didn't see that, though.
I have not seen it.
Go see it. I really enjoyed it. I actually think, Don, it will be your favorite out of the three.
Okay. It's hard to top the other two.
And
really
by the way, Pirates did not beat Spider-Man 3 opening weekend.
Until today. It beat it today.
Oh, well,
it's still not a weekend.
On the extended long weekend, they said.
Yeah, but that's crazy.
So crazy, longest, biggest holiday opening.
That's big fibbery.
Yeah, that's what there was.
But isn't that, I mean, I'm on a, like a, it's kind of like a pool. Like a, yeah. There's 30 people. We all had to pick the top 10 mm-hmm. Blockbusters of the summer in order.
Right.
And
what'd you pick?
Almost everyone put Pirates of the Caribbean 3. I put Shrek 3.
Oh, really?
And the reason is
Shrek
because,
got its ass kicked.
First of all, it made gazillions right. when it came out. But mm-hmm. I think because it's a kids' movie, it's going to have staying power. I think yeah. Pirates of the Caribbean is now competing with Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Transformers will be competing with all of them. Live Free, Die Harder, Fantastic Four.
This is the geekiest summer in forever. This is
but we've said that every crazy. Year for the past 3 years.
No. Last summer was bullshit. This is off the charts. I mean, off the freaking charts.
I don't know. I hate to be the wet blanket here. I'm just not excited about most of the upcoming titles.
Have you seen...
Fantastic Four does not look interesting
no.
to me.
No. I put that at 10 on my list. Only
Pirates of the Caribbean, like, I want to go see it, but I'm not, like, chomping at the bit.
No, everybody said that, yeah. that it's more plot-heavy.
I'm more
heavy.
Excited to see 28 Weeks Later, which I still haven't got
28
to
Weeks
see.
Later, I heard, was fantastic. I've seen, I won't disclose from where, but I've seen a lot of the footage from the new Transformers movie.
Have you seen the last trailer? I don't care.
Trailer looked good to me.
I had interest in going seeing it. I saw that trailer and my jaw dropped to the floor.
It's badass looking.
It's totally badass.
It's looking. Badass looking.
Yeah. And I didn't see one single kid in the promo, which makes me think maybe it's not the kids.
It's Shia LaBeouf, who's the kid from the Holes. Even Stevens series and Holes. He was in the Even Stevens movie with me. Yeah.
He was in Disturbia, which yeah. is out right now.
He's okay. quite a good little actor. He's playing Spike. And then the girl is extra hot, and she will be a huge star. She will displace.
Are they kids?
Jessica
kids,
Alba.
Or are we talking like 18, 20?
He gets his first car. His yeah. dad drives him to go
16,
get his first car.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Bumblebee is not a bug, which bothers me.
Bumblebee's like a Corvette.
Yeah. Yeah. Volkswagen wouldn't give up the rights this time.
No, I don't. I think it's just American Cars said, no. You have to do all American Cars.
Oh.
If you want Optimus Prime to be this type of truck, you have to do all American Cars. I think that was probably what happened.
You think?
Is he a Mack yeah. truck at least?
He's a Mack truck.
Okay.
He's good. Definitively. And in fact, the one time he transforms, it goes.
It has the sound effect.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good.
Which was badass.
All right.
Well, also, it's World of Warcraft, we should briefly mention they sent out their 10-day promo.
It's totally AOL.
It really is. Yeah, they come just back out and there. Try us just for a little while. But every MMORPG does that.
They sent
yeah.
crack in the mail.
But what they did do was they let you download the entire expansion pack for free and try it out.
I don't know.
And I tried it out. And what I realized was how much less I read when I'm playing an MMORPG.
I don't want to let them
like,
back
all
in.
My reading time goes away. So I have to say, you know, it's pretty. They did a lovely job, but all it is a couple new races and a new starting area.
Yeah.
So you get to start over a new character, play new stuff until you're around level 20.
Well, no, I thought there was a whole bunch of stuff for the super high people.
End game stuff.
Yeah.
But what that means is if you want to play one of the new races, you get about 20 levels of new content and then about 40 levels of the same damn stuff you've played
a
thousand times.
Over and over and over.
And then you get to play new content. Either that or just go back to a character
you get a couple of new jobs, too, that you can sort of sell.
Either that or go back and play your old character. And, like, it's for me, it's been so long since I played, I don't remember how to play the character well anymore.
By the way, I've been hearing rave reviews about the Lord of the Rings Online.
Oh, bah. I played the beta. No.
Really? I've heard that it's on par with World of Warcraft.
It was Dungeons & Dragons Online with a shiny new World of Warcraft-like quest system.
Okay.
All right. That's all it was. I really did not enjoy what I played.
So, a couple of other heads-ups, quick. The 24th was Towel Day.
The answer to everything.
Yes?
Life. Universe and everything.
Yes?
Is.
Yes?
Is.
Yes?
42.
24th Friday was Towel Day.
Not.
No, it's for Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
They had to reverse it because it was like not April 42nd.
No, okay. No. 24th, all right. Towel Day, so that's a heads up for all the Hitchhikers fans. And the other thing was, I saw on the History Channel, the coolest thing. It was the auction of the Star Trek stuff from Christie's.
Right.
I guess it had been released from wherever. But basically, Christie's thought it was going to sell for about $3 million.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire collection ended up selling for $7.1 million. So they severely underestimated things. I mean, one was like the Enterprise D, which they expected to sell between 25,000 and 35,000, sold for 576,000.
Wow.
I mean, that's
that's a miscalculation.
The 2-foot Borg cube model and the captain's chair from the bridge of the Star Trek Enterprise, the Borg model sold for 96,000. Mm-hmm. It was expected to sell for 1,500. And the captain's chair, which belonged to Captain Jean-Luc Picard, was expected to bring 9,000, and it came in for 52,000.
I want to know who bought these things.
A lot of them were anonymous donors. Anonymous buyers.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I just bought, you know, a model for $96,000, I'd want my name out of the papers, too.
Exactly. I mean, there are some unbelievable... Hmm. But if you get to see the History Channel thing, it's so cool because there's so many really happy fans, and they're in the audience, and they're just so geared to see the stuff. And also, the way that Christie's arranged it, it's badass. Because you see all the weapons, like, it looks like the best...
The gun rack
in the entire world. Nice. It's just badass. So if you get to see it, totally.
It's on the History Channel.
On the History Channel.
Mm. All right. I'll scope that out.
All right. We should introduce ourselves and then...
Well, I still have some Geek Week stuff.
Oh, man.
I'm low on news, so this is more Geek Week. Halo 3 beta, multiplayer beta, has been out. I own Crackdown, so I loaded up Halo 3 beta.
How was that? I saw everybody playing it, and I was jealous, but not enough to go get Crackdown.
Well, good. Here's the deal. First of all, it's only going to be for 3 weeks or something like that. 6 weeks or whatever. It's fun, like Halo 2 was fun.
Oh, no.
But it really feels like Halo 2 with a download. Now, here's the deal. I'm not making a judgment on Halo 3 because of this. It's a beta. They only had, like, 3 maps. Mm-hmm. Only a couple game types, like it was Capture Flag and Team Kill.
But they don't have anything of the story, and the story is
no.
Right.
But here's the deal. It doesn't look much better than Halo 2.
Oh,
I mean...
Even in your new HD TV?
Well, it looks better in HD, obviously,
right.
Which I'll talk about later. But... I'm surprised. I'm really shocked that if this is, you know, we bought an Xbox 360 to play Xbox 360 games.
Right.
And if you're telling me that your flagship game could have been made on a regular Xbox, why sell an Xbox 360?
Uh-oh.
Now, again, this is a beta, and I'm not making full... And it's fun. It's fun as hell. But...
Uh-oh. Aaron's looking for more.
Now, I'm hoping what they're going to do is they're going to say, those game types, that's only three of a whole bunch of new ones. Here's a whole bunch of crazy game types you've never seen before. This is the reason why it's next gen. It's got, you know, this and that and that and this feature and that feature. I'm hoping when the real game comes, then I will change my mind.
Right.
But I kind of was disappointed.
All I want is a good story. I want to be able to play with you and you online.
Yeah.
And it to
when
be badass.
When is the release date?
September 29th, I think. They have to clear, which is coming up, actually.
Mm-hmm. That's not far off.
No. They said it's going to pretty much, the multiplayer will pretty much look like what we saw in the beta.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Well, we'll see.
So I'm...
I expect better graphics.
So do I. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you graphics or this, graphics or that. No, I'm fine. Just release it on the regular Xbox and don't release an Xbox 360 if that's what you're going to put out there.
Right. No, put it out for both.
Put it out for both.
Well, why put it out for both? Why buy an Xbox 360 if your games don't look like anything but an Xbox game?
Well, because
why?
But added content on there, like, you know, the songs and...
I'm just saying,
you know,
we bought a $400 fucking box to play games that are next gen.
I don't disagree with you, but I'm just saying if it's, you know, if it's meant for Xbox, you know,
this is an Xbox game.
Right.
Their flagship game.
I understand that, but I bought the Xbox 360 for not just if Xbox is going to drop the ball, that's in their court. That's
well, ironically, the only thing I'm playing mostly on there right now is Catan.
I'm an addict. I'm playing
I kind of felt like Microsoft said, "Well, we have Gears of War. That's us."
Right.
And fuck Halo.
Well, shall we do some geek news?
Sure.
Cue the music.
Oh, I love that
music.
That's
fantastic.
All right, who wants to go
first? We need the techno.
I only have one story.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a new thing that Fanta screws with your mitochondria.
Fanta?
Fanta.
The soda.
A researcher in the UK says a preservative found in a number of fizzy soft drinks and processed foods could switch off vital parts of DNA.
So, just Fanta? Is that the stuff that...
No, not just Fanta,
Fanta
but...
Fanta?
Fanta's just funnier to say.
Fanta?
That's not the shit that my wife is drinking, is it?
No, that's Chest, and that's
Fresca.
Fresca.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Fizzy soft drinks. It's basically, specifically, an expert in aging at Sheffield University who's been working on sodium benzoate since publishing a research paper in 1999 has decided to speak out about another danger. Professor Peter Piper.
No.
Yes.
Oh, check your sources.
No, I am. I did. It's, it is. It's The Independent. It's actually pretty
good. He was an unwanted child.
Yes. Professor of molecular biology and biotechnology tested the impact of sodium benzoate on living yeast cells in his laboratory. What he found alarmed him. The benzoate was damaging an important area of the DNA in the power station of the cells known as the mitochondria. Basically, here's his quote. The mitochondria consumes the oxygen to give you energy and if you damage it, as happens in a number of disease states, then the cell starts to malfunction very seriously, and there's a whole array of diseases that are now being tied to damage to this DNA, Parkinson's, and quite a lot of neurodegenerative diseases, but above all, the whole process of aging. So Fanta could make you age faster.
Well, you're saying any carbonated drink.
You're saying any carbonated drink, not just Fanta.
Sodium benzoate, yeah.
Any carbonated drink.
Could be.
Okay.
I don't know. It's Professor Peter Piper, folks.
Either that or it's just aging yeast.
Yeah, exactly. Which would faster bread.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Interesting.
Intriguing. I have a link to a group of catifications? Classifications.
Like my fiancé?
Classifications for Star Wars fan denominations. So tell me, which are you? The fundamentalist. These are people who think that everything George Lucas does is gospel. They love every Star Wars movie.
No.
Spin-offs, toys, comic books, you name it, no exceptions. The orthodox. The Old Testament folks. First three movies only. The charismatics, these are the folks for whom it is not enough to watch Star Wars, they need to live it. They make costumes, dress up as Lucas characters, and join worldwide groups like the 501 Legion and Rebel Legion. It's a good guess. The hand-firsters, these are the fans outraged by the revisions in the movie.
That would be me.
Hand shot first.
Yes.
The Boba fetishists, those with the unhealthy fascination with Boba Fett.
No.
A very minor character in the first three movies.
Yes.
The expanded
universalists. One of which of those is George Lucas, who had to make a whole plot line based off of Boba Fett.
That was just weird. Yeah. I don't understand that to this day. The expanded universalists. These fans are jazzed by Star Wars spin-offs and Apocrypha, the Clone Wars animated series, the various novels, comic books, books, video games, and TV specials. Blah, 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 blah.
By the way, we have a geek friend who's went up north to work with George Lucas on the Clone Wars television series.
Dum, da, da.
Hi, Jakeeli.
Hi, Jack.
He's already told us he won't give us any inside information. You bastard!
Well, maybe we can work out some...
get my ass on that show.
Figure out. Gotta get on that show.
We have the Graven Imagists. These are the collectors, people who like just collect all of the...
My friend Tom.
Action figures and toys and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. The Binks Busters. Really just the anti-Jar Jarists.
Sorry, Ahmed.
Pretty all-encompassing.
Yeah.
And the atheists, the people who just don't get it.
See, I ran into somebody the other day who was like, oh, no, I've never seen it. I don't know. I saw about a quarter of it. I just didn't get it.
How old were they?
35.
What?
Yeah. I was utterly stunned. Utterly stunned.
They drank too much sodium benzoate or something.
Yeah, see, there you are.
Prematurely old.
There you are. Yes,
their
I am.
Mitochondria.
I am,
their midichlorians were...
What was the first three films? What is the first three films? The people who like...
The Orthodox.
So I am an Orthodox Hans Furster expanded universalist.
We're actually the same.
Oh, really?
We have the same faith.
Orthodox.
Yeah, I think I'm the same faith, too.
Eronicus.
Hey, I mean, you know, Knights of the Old Republic, I'm sorry, was the best thing to happen to Star Wars in 20 years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, easily since the first three.
Yeah.
Hands down.
I mean...
I actually got involved in that storyline.
You know? So did I.
It was a great game.
I was really invested in it. Not so much the second one, but the first one, very much so.
Yes.
Mm. All right. My one news story. Universal Pictures has signed Desperado spy kids mastermind Robert Rodriguez to direct the remake of Barbarella.
No.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, come on.
Now, it's only in pre-production, so we don't know if it will actually continue forward, but...
She's going to have a gun on her leg.
No, that doesn't work. Barbarella is like quintessential 60s.
Well, you know? We'll see. Maybe
or maybe 70s. What the hell was it? 60. I'm going to say 60s. I'm going
with
60s.
69?
It's 1968.
You love me.
1968.
You shake your head, but you love me.
You were close. 1968.
68?
Okay.
Yes. Ha ha. It's like remaking Hair. You know, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Well, we'll see. I would agree, but I don't know. What the hell?
And they're going to lose all of the trippy aspects of it. You know it.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be a straight-up sci-fi movie with man-eating dolls.
Well, if it's done poorly, yes. But you could go totally trippy.
I'm just trying to figure out.
I just don't think they will.
Maybe they don't.
Which part is Danny Trejo going to have?
Yeah.
Danny Trejo is in every single Rodriguez film, so he's got to have a role.
Machete.
There are a couple roles he could play.
Machete is going to do, I don't know.
There are a couple different roles he could play.
Yeah, true.
He's going to be Duran Duran. All right.
So babies can tell languages apart by your facial expressions. There is a new study that says four-month-old babies, although I still don't get how they're figuring this out, four-month-old babies can discriminate between different languages merely by studying the facial movements of the speaker, according to the pioneering study by Speech Development in Infants.
Different languages shoot off different parts of the brain.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true.
And then they can record that.
I did a different news story on the show that said exactly that we don't just have one language center. Yeah, different languages light up different portions of your brain. Even with the sound turned off on a video recording, babies were able to tell whether someone had switched from speaking English to speaking French, the scientists who conducted the study found. The researchers believe that this visual speech ability is a critical component of language learning and is something that is retained for longer in babies brought up in bilingual homes who learn two languages at once.
No, well, the French always have that sex face going on. when
Mouse parce que qu'est-ce qu'il y a? Est-ce que je peux...
It's hard to use half those syllables and not make this. Spanish, Italian, French. There's a lot of O face going on.
It's the O face.
Just saying.
Yep. So they're basically saying at 8 months of age, most babies from monolingual homes were losing the ability. However, most babies from bilingual homes were using the ability well into their twos and threes.
Makes perfect sense. I remember a study I read in college saying that if you learned three languages by the age of six, then you would retain the ability to learn languages at a rapid rate the rest of your life.
That would be great.
Oh, man.
That would be awesome.
My parents fucked up.
Well, remember the study that I brought in that said video games opens up the same pathways in your brain that, that learning multiple languages does? I wonder if babies can tell whether or not you're playing video games.
Maybe.
Wouldn't surprise
I think
me.
My parents kept me in a box till I was six. I mean, I have zero superpowers like that.
Come on,
I don't know shit. I'm like a virtual dumbass.
You need to unlock the inner Rain Man, man.
Yeah, man.
I have one quick story. It's really more of a link. Jack Thompson, who has been barred from attacking the people who
brought you Grand Theft Auto.
Who was it, Take-Two?
Yes. Yeah, Grand Theft Auto.
He has been barred by law suing Take-Two again.
Didn't they pre-sued him?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know what that's called.
They filed an injunction against him.
Okay.
He cannot sue them.
Yeah.
It is illegal for him to sue them. So he's going to try and sue Microsoft.
So now why is he suing them in the first place?
Because they're releasing a product that is, he says, damaging to children and not doing everything they can to keep it out of the hands of children.
Okay.
AKA the Xbox 360?
No. Halo.
Oh, right. That's right. Yeah. Halo. That's right. Halo 3. Halo 3 is coming. He's going after Halo 3 now.
Yeah. He's saying that the DC snipers used Halo as a training simulator.
Sure they did. Yes.
So
sure
that clearly Halo 3 is inspiring people to ridiculous new levels of violence. And he's threatening to sue them if they don't basically treat it the same way we do pornography.
Can we get some smart people into the judicial system?
I don't know if that's going
to
happen.
It's starting to really chap my ass. And now, did you hear about the kid?
I just want to hear you use chap my ass in a sentence again.
Did you hear about the kid that got kicked out of school because he created a map of his school for Counter-Strike?
Yeah, yeah.
So they expelled him.
What?
Saying that he was dangerous because he created an effing map.
Oy.
This is a total disconnect with technology. These are
people making rulings on something they don't understand.
Yeah.
They don't participate.
Oh, yeah. Like, so not even like a little bit of understanding.
I want to do a show on this. You remember I mentioned this to you? Because I think this is the biggest generation gap that we have had since rock and roll. You know?
Well,
since
it
rock
ain't
and
over
roll.
Yet.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No, absolutely.
It's gonna accelerate. We're going to be doing the same
but
shit.
I want to do something on this and on privacy and on how it affects and on embarrassment and how, you know, how. Because, like, embarrassment no longer is just a singular phenomenon and or even a town-wide phenomenon. Now it can reach such a wider audience than you could ever have ever been embarrassed before.
Right.
You know? And you know, things like this, basically, I think this generation that's coming up has a different skewed view of how to deal with embarrassment, how to deal with certain politics of school and like that than has ever been dealt with before.
Well, and it's sort of like there. Somebody sent me an email once upon a time. I can't remember where I read this. Where they said the generation before us was the generation where if they see something they consider to be offensive, they will organize and attempt to suppress it.
Okay.
Right? Our generation is the generation that, you know, if that's
we're apathetic.
That was the example. No, they find something about them embarrassing on the internet. So the generation before us will go ahead and organize a group that will try to ban the internet.
Right.
Our generation will try and work on an individual level to try and get it removed from the website. The generation behind us will try and figure out a way to capitalize it and make money off of it.
Yeah, I was hearing this on NPR, and I thought it was so fascinating.
Well, we should do maybe a show on it.
We got to do it. We got to do a show on
talk
it.
Because I've got a lot to say about that.
Okay.
Shit. All right, I don't have any more news because I spent it all on Geek Week.
That's it. Why don't we move on to our main topic then?
Our main topic.
Are you recording?
Yes.
Oh, hi. Welcome back. Cue the music, Matt.
I'll cue the music.
So what is our excellent topic today?
Our excellent topic is Spider-Man. Spider-Man.
Spider-Man
does whatever 3. A spider can. Spins a web any size. Catches the... Sorry.
I just want to see how far you can go.
Just like flies. Look out. Here comes the Spider-Man.
Listen... Bud.
No. Is he strong?
Is he strong?
Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood.
There you go. All right. Moving on.
Yes. So before this topic got completely cold,
I can do the whole song. But I'm not going
to.
No, go ahead.
We waited enough time so that people could go see the damn movie. There are going to be plenty of spoilers.
Many spoilers.
Spoilers alert from here on.
Yes.
To our dear friend in Iraq, stay safe and skip to the end of this episode. We'll have good bits.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. So, anyway, we want to talk about Spider-Man 3 before no one cares.
Yes,
which
was
caring
by the end of the movie, pretty much.
I've met a lot of people who did like it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who liked it, too.
I am the biggest
Spider-Man general
geek.
Consensus in this room among the three geeklings, thumbs up or thumbs down? I have to give it a thumbs down overall.
I would give it a thumb sideways.
Thumb sideways.
Oh, is thumb sideways an option?
Yes.
Yeah,
I'll give it a thumb sideways.
Only because I didn't hate the movie. I did not hate the movie. I thought it was entertaining. Mm-hmm. Like, there were action scenes and special effects, and the acting was good, and there were some clever moments, and it wasn't a tragic movie to me.
I feel like Sam Raimi got effed in the A by the studio. I felt like it was completely and utterly, somebody went, you have $150 million spent on this film, and we need to throw the kitchen sink and plot line and everything.
I think he approved that script, quite frankly, and I think he
wrote it.
I don't think he did. There's something fishy about that script to me.
Yeah, it sucks.
I know the way Sam Raimi works. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge Sam Raimi fan. You know, I watched all of Xena. And it's just not his modus operandi. You've seen the two prior Spider-Man movies too. You know,
well,
he has a lot of
he has
a lot of trite dialogue. You know, where basically like he takes a moment way too far. Mm-hmm. You know, where it's like, okay, cut, please, Sam, please cut, please, no, cut there. Okay, don't let him say anything more. Just cut.
Yeah.
But in this, it not only was that he let scenes go on.
Yeah.
It was just too much of everything. Too many villains. Too many moments.
Like,
too many plot lines.
I felt
too
like
many
that they took the last movie and decided that if they did more of everything in that movie, it would be better.
They took the last two movies. They redid everything from each movie.
Yeah.
They did the revenge story from the first movie.
Yeah.
They did the Mary Jane losing her, getting her back story, jealousy thing from the first movie. They did Aunt May likes or doesn't like Spider-Man. They did everything from each movie.
That last one, I got to protest because I think Aunt May was a throwaway character in this one. Hmm. And that actress is solid. I mean,
she's so solid.
In
she's
Spider-Man
off,
2, I was really touched by the scenes with her.
She's pulling off Shakespearean lines that are like, I don't know how any actress pulled off those lines. And
yeah.
So we weren't all keen on it. So what did you, let's start with what you liked about the thing.
It was Spider-Man.
That's it.
It was Spider-Man, despite all the crap that was flying around the screen and not flying around the screen from time to time. It did feel like Spider-Man movie.
Okay.
You know, it was infinitely better than any of the attempts from the 70s.
Right.
And when I left, I was wondering if I would have liked it more if I hadn't been expecting so much more because of the first two movies. You know, this movie let me down.
No, this movie...
I can't say the prior two did.
No, I actually really love this because I felt like it went good, 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 getting better, great first act, feel good, second act. Oh, why did he say that? Oh, it's getting worse, it's getting worse, it's getting worse. It's getting better, it's getting better, it's getting better, and then just a sucky fall off.
See, I disagree. The first act did nothing for me.
Oh, really?
It's setting up... it sets up Mary Jane Watson in a Broadway play where we're supposed to be wondering, you know, did she do good? Will she make it?
Does it
and
matter?
And everyone watching it, one, you don't really care all that much because you don't know the characters that well yet or the situation.
Right.
And two, she's bad. The play she's in is just bad. The performance is bad.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no question from the start. It's just a piece of crap work.
Right.
And then you have the lovely scene in Central Park. Good start. You know, where you have them in the web together, cuddling under starlight. Beautiful opening, beautiful moment,
mm-hmm.
and then the meteorite happens to hit Earth, happens to come through the atmosphere in just the right way to land a few feet from our hero.
I'm fine with
unleash
that.
An alien. Well, I am not. That
okay,
is an
here's
astronomical
the reason why,
chance.
Here's the reason I was kind of fine with that. I'm only fine with it because this entire movie was only... Only makes sense to people who know what the hell's going on, has previously read Spider-Man.
Yeah. There's astronaut.
There's no way that you would go, what? We'd understand that whole costume thing.
It took a lot of explanation.
No, no, no. There's so many astronomical changes. Here, let me say the Lisa comment, which I think is pertinent right here. I asked Lisa what, because I wanted to know what, I wanted her on the show tonight to replace Peter, but she said, no, but you have to say this about Spider-Man. She goes, okay, Sandman is this incredibly poetic and sympathetic character who happens to be doing all of these things to be saving his daughter. All right?
Right.
And yet we have two plot lines that are going on, which are, like, did he kill Peter's uncle?
Right.
Right.
Which is a complete.
Which is like,
bullshit,
what?
Which bugged the hell out of me that they even thought to.
Exactly. So it's another astronomical, huh? Yeah. And then suddenly Venom comes along with him, who is ostensibly like the most evil character in all of Spider-Man, and goes, hey, you want to kill Spider-Man? And Sandman's like, yeah!
Sure!
The Venom thing I can kind of wrap my brain around.
But how if you didn't know anything about Spider-Man or that costume, how would you react from a meteorite that hits you and gives you and turns into your costume?
No, I'm agreeing with you. So I'm saying what they put in the movie was crap. It was a bad explanation.
But it's written for the comic book reader who knew what that was. And a comic book reader would say, listen.
How was that written for the comic book reader who knew what that was?
Because you have to know that it was impossible to explain that costume in the correct way. So we're just going to give it to them and just say, we're going to skip the whole other thing.
I disagree.
I disagree. That's a failure.
I think it's a failure too. But I'm just
that
saying.
That is not a not of the head.
But
the
I'm saying Venom, book. That Venom story was there for the comic book readers. It was not a good story. It makes zero.
No. Let me just bend what you were saying to a way I could swallow it, which would be that was there in the desperate hope that comic book readers would forgive them and explain to the person next to them they couldn't possibly put the story to swallow it.
This is where I think the studio got to it, because I think Sam Raimi, if you see what he's done in every single other film, he set up the villain for the next movie. He's gone, all right, here's the villain for the next
which
film.
Which was
right?
Hobgoblin.
Right. See, he did that in the last one. Was Hobgoblin was going to be in this one. Was basically.
Exactly.
And I was like, okay, great. Hobgoblin's going to be the next villain.
Exactly.
Fantastic. So I thought he was going to spend the whole film setting up Venom for the next film. And the end of it was,
exactly.
Oh my God, this suit is horrible. I've got to tear it
That's
off.
That's what I thought, too.
And then deal
Instead,
with it.
Instead, it was more of a Batman, Iceman.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I thought the suit was only going to be a suit in this whole movie.
And that would have been fantastic.
And cause a personality change.
That would have been fantastic. Fantastic.
Exactly.
But,
and then the next movie would
be... But that's exactly why I think the studio got to it.
But is Sam Raimi part of the fourth one?
He well, they've
I thought the trilogy...
They've pitched some ugly money right now. They've pitched ugly money to Tobey Maguire. $30 million was the pitch for the next film.
Sam Raimi said he's ready to make 4, 5, and 6.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So
I'll still go. Don't get me wrong. You know, I wasn't so horrified by this movie that I would boycott.
To me, this plot, this was essentially the Fantastic Four plot to me, the way I thought it, with good special effects, good acting, and some clever
great
directing.
Acting. My problem was that every single time, it was like every time they would get to the thing, and I would go, oh God, why did you do that? Then they would just do it. And you would see Spider-Man dealing with the suit or whatever. And I was like, ooh, cool. And I enjoy the follow-through of the bad plot setup.
Yeah,
no one had any motivation at all in this movie. Sandman has no motivation to fight Spider-Man. None. If he was
and
smart,
in fact, even after he tries to kill him, then it's like, hey,
he says it. Hey, I didn't mean to fight you.
I didn't mean to kill you. And can I go now? Yeah. Go blow away like smoke.
Yeah. So he has
that pissed me off.
So he has zero motivation. The suit. I mean, who knows what motivation that has? It's just a weird alien costume that then turns into a whatever.
The suit. I think you're completely right, and the suit needed to be extended.
And then the Hobgoblin is so confusing because he starts out with a motivation and then just kind of like.
Let's make him lose his memory.
this isn't working.
Yeah, there's a little Days of Our Lives moment in the middle of the movie. I don't know what the hell
to me
was.
It felt like the Fantastic Four plot, which also had zero motivation for any characters. And to me, part of that is jamming more villains. Whenever a superhero movie has more than one villain, it sucks.
I'd say more than two.
They could have done two. They could have done Hobgoblin and Sandman with dealing with Peter.
I would have gone Hydro Man and Sandman. You know,
just why? Why just? Why can't we just have one villain?
Like Sandman the whole time?
Isn't one villain?
I'm
cool
fine
enough?
With one villain.
So
I'm fine
what's
with
the
that,
problem
but,
with you know? Jamming in more fucking villains? I just don't get. It's to me, it's poor.
Honestly, if the villain doesn't sound that interesting, I say beef him up. I would have made a mistake.
How about you just pick a different villain?
Well, yeah. I would have made a mistake in that, like, Doc Ock was the villain in the second movie.
Great. Mm-hmm.
If I was in charge of it, I would have been like, Doc Ock, no.
Oh, you had to do Doc Ock. It's like his ultimate
I know.
Starting
I understand that, but I would have said, Doc Ock is lame. Oh. Beef him up. And I would have been wrong. They did him well.
They did Doc Ock, you know? Great.
Yeah, I would have been wrong.
Yeah. Brilliant.
I mean, even Sandman could have been cool alone. I mean, that's a stupid...
They
villain.
I don't know.
I don't think Sandman could carry a movie.
Yeah. You know? Come on. He's too old. I mean, Rhino would have been badass. Carnage.
Rhino couldn't carry a movie.
Yeah, I think Rhino could totally carry a movie.
He's such a lame-looking character, and the power is he runs at things, and they blow up. You know, it's...
Madam Web, what is Shadow Cat?
So what could possibly...
Not Shadow Cat. Black Cat.
I'd like to see Black Cat.
Black Cat would be fantastic.
So, to me...
Is that Felicia Hardy?
Felicia Hardy.
Okay.
For me, the biggest disappointment was that I felt the third movie had to be about the punishment of the result of Peter Parker and Mary Jane knowing, with the secret being gone.
Yeah.
And her having to pay the price.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
did not happen.
They did set it up.
They were setting up going there.
And then they just backed off.
But it's not because she knew. It's because the villains knew.
Yeah.
And that's happened in every one of them.
Yeah. And that could have been what they dealt with, was Peter really coming to the realization
that it's dangerous to know who I am.
Yeah. It's dangerous to know who I am. It's dangerous for people to know who, you know, if they know who, you know, if they know you.
And to me, that's what the entire third movie should have been about. Because that's how all the... I mean, to me, the greatest things about the other movies were they weren't about the villain. The villain was there to terrorize him and to change the problem that he has in his life. And so, and to me, that the third story was really about... Like, here, this is the first time ever in a superhero movie where he reveals to his love and it works out at the end. Because normally you have to kiss the girl to erase her memory, or you got to do something else.
Well,
now you have to explain why superheroes keep secrets.
It does work out for Spider-Man in the comic book, but the thing that I think would have been interesting.
I heard that they got divorced.
Eventually, but I mean, they had 10 years of
yay, two Christmases.
Exactly.
But to me, that's what the real story should have been, and that's why I was.
But
really
that's actually an interesting point, because the other two movies specifically were the reason. Maybe this is my itch with this film, is the reason why I like Spider-Man is because he feels like me dealing with my problems and what's going on. And this was the first film where it was, it could have been Spider-Man getting an ego and a big head for everything and kind of running along on that bent, but it wasn't.
Well, this is also one of the few superhero genre movies where the person's alter ego, Peter Parker, is the dominant personality in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Every other one, it's the costume that's the dominant personality.
Yeah.
Superman is not Clark Kent is not Superman. Superman occasionally plays Clark
Kent's
Kent.
The way he hears about things.
Although,
you know?
I have to say...
And the X-Men didn't really have any personality outside of their suits.
Yeah, they're not.
You know?
Yeah. But I have to say, though, they did a pretty good job in the old Superman to have Clark be a real lovable...
Caricature.
Christopher Reeve?
Yeah, Christopher Reeve. Yeah.
Well, that's Christopher Reeve.
Clark was a caricature, but Superman was a personality. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, there was a real person behind Superman.
I felt like what Christopher Reeve did to get off the subject of Spider-Man for a second was really genius, was that he said, Superman is who this guy is. Clark Kent is who he puts on, is his costume.
Right. Yeah.
I really...
Which is different for superheroes, because normally the superhero is the, you put on the costume, and he's taking...
But what I'm saying is that in movies, it's not portrayed that way.
Right.
And for a good reason. You have a very short time period, and people are interested in the suit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Spider-Man has been the first movie to step out of that. Mm-hmm. You know, even Batman. You know, Bruce Wayne is a mask.
Yeah.
You know, Spider-Man is the mask. That's the twist.
Yeah.
And in this one, they played with it. it was a factor in the movie, but I'm agreeing with what you said in that, oh, excuse me, what Aaron said, in that this should have been about the cost.
Yeah.
You know, as far as the trilogy goes, mm-hmm. you know, it's we've moved on to a new stage in the relationship, and this was just the difficulty of being in a relationship yeah. with a superhero.
The thing with this is that it also did that thing that I that drove me crazy about Star Wars, is that it was so cool in so many places that I could see where it could have gone. You know, like when he's ripping off the suit in the bell tower, you know, and fighting it off there, and I see Venom start to form. And I was like, why are you doing this? And the movie's only halfway through. You know, or when he's just when he's getting egotistical and he's doing the kiss in the park with, you know, the other love interest. You know?
He never went too dark. He, you know, he said a couple bad things and then he took the costume off.
Yeah.
It's like he never paid the price for putting for the
go make me the cookies.
Yeah, like it should have been the ring, you know, from Lord of the Rings. You put on that thing and it is a burden that haunts you and makes you do things. And he was like, I said a bad thing to my girlfriend. And
wouldn't it be great if it really screwed up Mary Jane and him throughout the whole movie?
And maybe even tore them apart.
Yeah.
And that was the tragic ending of the third
movie.
I have to say, at the end of the third movie, I wasn't clear that they were getting back together. That was not – both of you were taking that as a given, and I didn't get that. I got a question mark at the end of the movie as to which way their relationship – if this was the final dance as they said goodbye or if this was a commiseration.
Well, then that would have been a really – that's a throwaway because that's an awesome – that's an awesome plot point to have your two lovers that you've had over three movies being ripped apart. And if you throw that away, you're – insane.
I was too busy watching Sandman dissipate like the Arabian Nights, too.
Was I the only one laughing when that happened?
I thought it looked like the black cloud in Lost.
Yeah, me
too. I was like, I'm going to go to a deserted island and fuck up some other people.
I actually had Glenda stuck in my head. I don't know. Are you a good superhero or a bad superhero?
So I'm not a big... I don't read a lot of comic books. What would be the next... villain?
Carnage.
So you Carnage?
They've already established it is Carnage.
Oh, really? Carnage is which one?
Carnage is a piece of the Venom suit gets off.
You can't do that.
And goes worse. Gets worse.
Oh, you can't do another Venom suit.
It's basically Carnage is a red suit and is a serial killer.
Oh, you
he goes
can't
on
do
a
that.
Serial
you
killer.
You can't do that.
I think
you could
do
that
in just because there was no personality to this one.
Yeah, but people are going to go, oh, it's the same one, but he's red.
Vulture. Vulture would be great.
Old Man That Flies.
Old Man That Flies. Looking for.
I remember that. Dude.
I think you should do a little bit of Lizard. You know, but I don't.
Well, he set up Lizard, so Lizard's the
three movies he set up. Lizard.
He's the professor with one arm.
Yeah,
should be fantastic.
But I think that could be a really dark one.
I love Lizard because it's like here's the man I love. Here's the it's very Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and it's an inverse relationship with Spider-Man. And I thought that could be fantastic.
I think it's important that they have Felicia Hardy come up if they keep Mary Jane.
Right.
If Mary Jane leaves, I don't think she's a great kind of. Straight up love interest.
Right.
She needs to be the other woman.
Yeah.
You know?
So he has that's the Spider-Man girlfriend?
That's the Black Cat. That's the one who likes him as Spider-Man and just doesn't give a crap about Peter Parker.
I don't want it as
it sounds too like Catwoman.
It is Catwoman. It's straight out. It's straight out. It's straight off rip off. Yeah.
But the problem is now you cross over into another movie. The Kingpin would be an interesting one.
Kingpin would be fantastic.
You know? And he's like a super duper mobster.
Yeah. He's like the mother of all mob bosses.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
He's very Lex Luthor-ish, but he's fantastic. But the one which I really want to see, I do not want to see it as the next movie, but I do want to see the story, is Kraven the Hunter. And Kraven.
Somebody else suggested that. I thought that was a great
idea.
Kraven
the Hunter is human. He's on steroids, I think, but not much. But basically, he's got really good senses and he's smart as hell. And basically, he just learns Spider-Man's patterns and he just watches him and watches him and watches him.
And so he outmoves him.
He outmoves him.
Yeah.
Destroys his life down to the last iota and then just kills him. And he's after Spider-Man because he wants to hunt him. Because, you know, what better person to hunt than, you know, than this thing.
I'm predicting at some point they do the clone adventure.
Yeah.
You know, where you have the evil Peter Parker out there and all that stuff.
But that's kind of what they did. I mean, that's I loved in this film. I really love Sam Raimi's sense of humor. I did enjoy the dance.
The
as
dance.
Much. It was
I wanted
silly.
To bring up the dance because that was a big dividing point in the audience.
Yeah, that crossed the line for me. I was fine with him walking down the street because that was reminiscent of the previous movies where he had a little kind of dance, like a little strut.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that was reminiscent. But after that, when he started dancing, it crossed the line.
I would have forgiven the dance if the rest of the movie had stepped up. But I felt like the rest of the movie didn't step up far enough for me to forgive it.
Yeah.
I could see that.
You know, but it did. I was amused.
Like to me, it was, though, like, it was hey, let's do that little happy dance he did in two, and we'll do it at 11, and he'll dance. And instead of one bad guy, we have three bad guys. And instead, to me, it was like somebody just said, just make three of everything. Take the second, the last movie,
studio.
And make three of everything.
Turn it up to 11.
Yeah.
And why? Okay, I did have a problem with Kirsten Dunst. Singing twice.
She's not a good singer.
Why? I mean, one, fine, and she's humiliated and off the show.
Right.
Now we need to make her sing again?
Humiliation.
I mean,
again.
Come on. Or at least voice her over. If,
yeah.
You know.
Let her be good in one of them.
Yeah.
The other problem I had, now this is purely a problem from a comic book fan.
Uh-huh.
I don't think anyone else watching the movie who hasn't read the comics could ever have a problem with it, was the use of Gwen Stacy in this one.
I thought, and who is that actor? She's cute.
She's very cute.
She's adorable.
But Gwen Stacy is an important character in the Spider-Man universe.
Yes.
You know, one, I don't think they should have used her at all if they have Mary Jane.
Really?
I think they probably should have avoided using her. And just
because of the way
this.
That the death happened in the,
yeah, because
in the first
they,
movie?
Yeah, because they did her storyline in the first movie. Yeah.
The way, I don't know if you know this, Aaron, the way that Mary Jane falls off the thing, mm-hmm. that actually happens to Gwen Stacy.
But she dies.
Spider-Man actually snaps her neck.
Yeah.
And it is his fault. I've read the physics of superheroes. It is his fault. Yeah.
Right. You know,
hey, works for
one,
Superman.
In this one, they're setting her up to be Mary Jane.
Right.
She is a model. You know, she is a, you know, a kind of celebrity about town.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like the super desirable hot chick that he sees from afar. So, I mean, I know they're setting her up to replace Kirsten Dunst. I don't believe Kirsten Dunst wants to stick around much longer.
But to mm-hmm. also do, like, Oliver Cromwell as her dad, I mean, he's a big guy to
well,
be playing.
Well, that's a major character from the comic book series,
yeah,
too.
To be playing her father.
Detective Stacy.
Yeah. But, know? I mean, I felt like there was totally too much Osa Topelion in this film. I mean, even the way Topher Grace came in. You know, God bless him. I love the character, and I think he beefed up like crazy.
He did fine.
But, I mean, he came in like, oh, hey, and I'm dating your daughter. What? You know, I mean, we could figure no better way to bring in the Topher Grace character. You know, I mean, have you seen the cartoon series, the CGI one that was on, I think it was MTV or wherever?
Yeah, it's okay.
The way they introduced the Venom character in that CGI show was mm-hmm. that Peter was interested in finding out about his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, he found out that his father was a researcher and had done stuff in terms of researching a new cancer suit, which was supposed to treat the whole body at once.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Venom suit was.
Hmm. So everybody has a different take on this Venom suit.
Yeah.
Well, you can't possibly do the comic book.
Well, yeah, true.
You can't do the whole, he's cosmic. Wasn't it cosmic?
It's too complicated.
Alien
even
from another
year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, he got the cancer suit, and Topher actually went, or not Topher, but the character,
Eddie Brock
was like a buddy from high school, and he went with him, and their parents were involved in it, and there was a little tiff over who actually had better rights to the suit.
Mm.
I thought that was a much better way of bringing it in rather than meteorite, even though I was willing to forgive that.
I couldn't. I needed some sort of explanation for that.
Like,
right.
You know.
So, thumbs across.
Thumbs across for me. Trust me, it's not as bad as a lot of other superhero movies for me.
Oh no, it's head and I think it's head and shoulders above Fantastic Four.
Yeah,
put
it mildly.
It grinds Elektra and Daredevil into the dust.
Yes,
you know it. It just doesn't live up to the legacy the first two set.
Yes. No,
that's what
not.
I really
especially not the first one
down it on.
Where you can find out that Kirsten Dunst is not wearing any panties in one shot.
What?
She is. She isn't.
What did you go through that damn DVD frame by frame?
No, it's on the internet.
Oh, so if you read it on the internet, it's got to be true.
No, he saw
photos. No, when I looked, I was like, yeah, they're right.
Well, there's a picture.
No, yeah, they're right. They're totally right.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Oh, my.
We want to introduce our own superheroes.
Yes.
Oh, dear Lord.
I mean, you know.
Are you prepared?
Bats.
Now?
I made a couple. I couldn't pick
Batman. There's Spider-Man. It seems like these animal attacks are constantly creating superheroes.
Yes.
And so what we wanted to do was introduce our own superhero created by an animal.
Can you see through steel?
No.
Can you create energy-based multiples of yourself?
Whoa, nope.
Can you destroy the Earth?
Egad, I hope not. That's where I keep all my stuff.
I've got three.
What? He's got three superheroes.
I couldn't knock them down.
All right.
I like superheroes. Right. It was fun. And I got
your
really
best
cheesy.
Stan Lee Silver Age voice.
Oh, I don't have a Stan Lee Silver
All right,
Age
guys.
Voice. Okay, I'm going to go from my lamest to my campiest.
Greeting, Spidey fans.
All right. After being bitten by a werewolf, an innocent koala bear discovered it had the ability to transform into a human with the proportionate strength and appetites of a koala bear. Captain Koala has the ability to climb trees and remain there for days at a time, the ability to eat tremendous amounts of eucalyptus, and fights with his deadly eucalyptus fighting sticks. Captain Koala, Defender of Australia.
Wow.
There's no Captain Australia, you know?
There isn't. All that we know of.
No, go ahead. Let Don go to his second one, because he has three.
I'm worried he's going to hit one of my animals.
All right, go ahead. Go first.
Go for it.
Go first.
All right. Amon, an American Egyptian, travels back to his ancestors' homeland on a summer bug-collecting expedition. After many days of searching, he discovers a rare dung beetle, not knowing that the eternal soul of the Egyptian sun god Capri resides in the beast.
Capri? Does he wear short pants?
Capri. that resides in the beast. He pins the bug to his collection board. The piercing of the stainless steel pin sends the powers of the ancient dung beetle into Amen. The power to consume bullshit.
I almost did that.
returning to America as Scatman, he roams the halls and chambers of our nation's capital, battling lobbyists, politicians, and corrupt executives, spewing endless bullshit. Wow. Look up in the blogosphere and other alternative news media. It's Scatman. Thank you very much.
That was quite elaborate.
That's brilliant. Mine's actually even more elaborate.
Oh, my goodness.
But no, go ahead.
I just have little blurbs.
Yeah, finish your blurbs. And right.
While leaving a picnic near an ancient Indian nuclear waste dumping facility, innocent Simon Saez found himself buried under a mass avalanche of giant irradiated lemmings as they hurled themselves off a cliff following their leader. When they finally dug him out, the experience had changed him forever. He had become the astounding Simon Saez. Anyone who witnesses Simon perform any action must repeat that action, no matter how self-destructive.
That's awesome.
That's actually a pretty good power.
That's it.
I just did little blurbs.
All right, I have little scripts to hang out here.
Oh,
here we
oh
go.
My goodness.
There we go. All right. There you go, Don. All right. Don, I'd like you to play Lauren. The vivacious reporter.
I always have to be the chick.
and you have to do the chick scream, too. If
okay.
All right. And Aaron, I'd like you to be Rex, our hero. He's a bit of a nerd, a little Peter Parker type. So, okay. All right. You ready? Okay. And I'll be the announcer and Harris.
Somewhere in the middle of the Congo, a great green meteorite crashed to Earth. Came to rest in the calm waterhole where local hippo would come to frolic and play. One of those hippo, thinking that the meteorite was a piece of regurgitated grass cud, swallowed it. Inside the hippo's acidic stomach, that meteorite cracked open, releasing phenomenal cosmic power. Far across the savannah, photojournalist, animal lover, and PETA spokesman, Rex Robertson was suiting up for a long-awaited safari.
I've been waiting a long time to go on a safari.
Rex's love of the furry creatures was only matched by his love of one woman, Miss Lauren Ling, a beautiful and vivacious fellow journalist who wouldn't give Rex the time of day.
Lauren, what time is it?
What, did you say something?
Lauren only had eyes for the handsome safari tracker, Harris James. Here, Lauren, let me get that for you.
Why, thank you, Harris. The way you lifted my camera bag was so manly.
Rex and the group trundled across the wide grassland, unknowing of the danger that lurked ahead. As the group entered a small river basin to take pictures...
Oh, look! Hippo!
The meteorite ingesting hippo with massive case of indigestion from the glowing meteor rock and having grown to twice its normal size, rushed the serene safari vehicle.
That hippo is coming right for us, and its eyes are glowing green.
Ah! Shoot it!
No, don't. It's endangered, I think.
The hippo slammed into the vehicle, biting through the door like paper and into Rex's leg.
My leg!
Everything went dark. When he came to, Rex found himself in the small hospital in Nairobi. Returning to his hotel that night, he noted a strong desire to get into his shower and roll around in his bath salts.
Feels so good on my spine. And what's this?
Rex noticed that his skin was forming a blue-brown layer, tough and strong, yet supple like a pair of Prada shoes. Emerging from the shower, Rex noted himself in the mirror. His musculature was increasing before his very eyes.
My muscular is increasing before my very eyes. I feel so strong, so powerful.
Suddenly a scream ran out.
Great Scott! Was that a scream?
Rex exited his hotel to find that Lauren was being accosted by the over-amorous advances of Harris, the Savannah tour guide.
Oh, get off on me, you brute!
Rex quickly pulled on the only thing on hand that would stretch around his new massive frame, his spandex workout tights.
Unhand that woman, you cad!
My God, is that a hippo?
Holy criminy!
Get away from me! Harris draws his revolver and... his molten slugs speeding at Rex's stomach, only to have them bounce off harmlessly. Using his newly acquired hippo strength, Rex crushed the gun to powder and threw Harris in a dumpster.
Thank you for keeping him from besmirching my honor.
You're welcome, ma'am. It was the least I could do.
But who are you, kind sir?
I'm Hippo Dude. Champion for right and justice, and the ethical treatment of animals.
And with one great bound, Hippo Dude was away. Now with his powers of strength, speed, near invulnerability, a jaw that can gape to 150 degrees, and the ability to submerge himself in water up to his eyes while still breathing, Rex Robertson, now Hippo Dude, strikes out for right, justice, and the ethical treatment of animals.
Hippo Dude!
Thank you.
Most wow. Elaborate, sir. Most elaborate.
Jeez.
Well, let's see. I feel so small after that.
Genetics.
We share the same genetics.
Bruce Binder, a gay rights activist, was lost in the countryside after partying at a nearby military base. Don't ask, don't tell. Suffering from extreme heat stroke, dehydration, and ecstasy withdrawal, Bruce found himself visited by his animal totem, the wise and adorable prairie dog spirit. While Bruce was given the power of the awesome cuteness of the prairie dog, no man or woman alive could look at him and not want to be his best friend and life mate. He now uses these awesome powers as the Prairie Homo Companion.
God.
That's the farthest I've ever gone for a joke. Thank you. Thank you. NPR humor. Thank you.
God.
Prairie Homo Companion.
That's wrong.
That's awesome.
Oh, God. All righty.
Some of these we just do for us.
Exactly. You should have probably tuned out 10 minutes ago. I do have a quick geek link I will put on the side, but someone posted a cardboard cutout at Walker, It's six pages. You print out on cardboard, cut it out, bend them and piece it together, glue it together, and it makes this really awesome AT-AT walker.
Would that work in proportion to the ships that you just bought for the game?
Way out of... I mean, this thing's huge.
Okay, it's huge.
It's pretty
okay,
big.
Okay.
Yeah, it's big. So we'll put a link. It's free. They're PDFs.
Cool.
JPEGs, I think. So you could just go and print it out in cardstock at, like, you know,
awesome.
A print shop. Cut it out. It looks pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So, anyway.
I want
to.
We'll get.
I will put on my shelf and cat. We'll say, take that down.
Is that it?
I think that's all.
Excellent.
We are done for another Geek Week.
A speedy episode of Geeks On, but we will make sure that we start coming back a little bit more often.
Yeah. Next week, it's most likely to be going to be Peter will be back.
Yes, and I will be away. Or I'm shooting.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yes, it's okay. Lovely. I get to shoot not only on the Henson lot, which is formerly the Chaplin lot, but I get to shoot in Chaplin's office, which is so
cool.
Badass.
Yeah,
so
very
I'm
cool.
Very excited.
Take pictures.
Yeah, exactly. Take lots of pictures. So.
Cool. Well, I hope everybody has a great Geek Week.
Now, please take the time to stop in at our forums at geekson.com, where you can also catch archives of our episodes. And you can email us there at geeks@geekson.com, or at any one of us individually, Aaron or Matt or Don at geekson.com.
Or Peter, even.
Maybe.
Don't bother.
Excellent.
Have a great Geek Week.
See you in the movies.
All right. Geek it out. We'll be right back.